consider, and we're calling this teaching Coping with the Delays of God. Coping with the Delays of God. Much of our walk as disciples is waiting on the Lord. And I think we're all learning that the fruit of the Spirit, which is in Christ, much of that is impatience, long-suffering. And we have to learn this one. We have to be taught. It doesn't come naturally to us. It's not something that we are born with. We have to learn this. And when we become a new creation in Christ, we soon have to learn that God's ways and timings are not ours. And there's always a deeper purpose and motive behind the delays of God, one of which we are confident, because the word shows us this, that none should perish. And that is always one of the main reasons why there are the delays of God, until every soul is saved and brought into the kingdom of God. And the problem is, of course, that we are too often inward-looking and consumed with ourselves, little realizing that the love and grace and long-suffering of God is that all should be saved. And when we think about the fact that we are saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, we then begin to thank God for the delays. Had God chosen to come 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago, we would have no chance. So all the while God delays, there is still hope and chance for our prayers, for our loved ones, our families, to make it into the kingdom of God. God delays his coming. And so when you find yourself getting impatient and getting bored or wondering what's happening, where is the Lord, why is it taking so long, remember also your prayers and intercessions, which are the prayers of the Holy Spirit, and they are including your loved ones. So we then begin to see this differently, don't we? We start to see the bigger picture of the delays of God. And that's why we're calling this today, Coping with the Delays of God. You see, life around us seems to be moving every year faster and faster. They're improving on technology, improving our cars, improving aeroplanes, computers, phones, you name it, all of them, every new model that comes out in some way can function faster so that we don't have to wait, because man fundamentally is impatient and he is offended if he has to wait for anything. And we find that we do that as well. And that is why God brings these delays in our life, because delays are very good at crucifying the pride within us. So that's one of the things why we have the delays within our walk. Because God, through the delay, is delivering us, setting us free, so that we can see the bigger plan and picture behind what God is doing. But everything today is moving at a faster pace. And God can move fast as well. Sometimes we can find that we have a job to keep up with him. And there are other times when it just seems, Lord, are you going to hurry up? Are you going to move? And this is where we have to rest in the Lord and wait and not strive like so often we do. Every day we should be walking with that rest with the Lord. And if this day means that God is going to manifest that which I'm believing for, then praise God, because that's the expectancy within our hearts that faith brings. So how are we coping spiritually with what outwardly seems as though little is happening? Well, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 37 to 39. Hebrews 10, 37 to 39. And here it speaks about endurance. He talks about not casting away your confidence or your faith in verse 35, because he's saying it has great reward. And he says that you have need of endurance in verse 36. That when you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So we begin to understand the delays of God is connected with doing the will of God. And so we then raise that question, am I always doing the will of God? And if we're to be brutally honest, we're not always doing the will of God. And we find at times there are two wills that are in conflict, your own will and the will of God. And doing the will of God is obedience. And that is what he's working within us, to obey. And we see the saints in the Bible who walked many, many, many years with God as he was working obedience in their life. And then we can now begin to understand verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in them. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. You see, the saving of the soul on one side of the coin is saved. On the other side of the coin, it is being saved. And that is the work, the process that God is doing. And there are going to be times in your life when you are going to thank and praise God for the delay of his coming. For had he come in such an hour, I would not have made it or made it into the kingdom of God or in the rapture. Because my life was not the standard that God is looking for. So he's patient, he's long-suffering. And he has a bride who is making herself ready. And the bride consists of people, a group of people. There are many interpret it as being 144,000. We're not completely sure on that, because that can be metaphorical. But there is a number that God is working with, who are making themselves ready, those five wise virgins who are coming to that place ready with the delays of God so that they will be taken up into glory with the Lord. Now, that is a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit, and we believe that we're going to be part of that company. All the while the Lord tarries and we're still alive and have breath. And so God is going to work with the company of the wise virgins and bring them to that place of perfection, ready to be taken for marriage to the Lord. And they are the delays of God. The church, right through the centuries, over 2,000 years now, is believing, confessing that one. A remnant has always believed in the rapture because it's there in the Word of God. And God always takes to himself a remnant before judgment falls. We have a clear analogy of that of Noah, who was righteous before God. And he and his family were saved by the ark. And God has shown us over the years that the church, the bride of Christ, the wise virgins, is a type of spiritual ark. And that door to the ark that was open then in those ancient days is the same door that is open today to enter in into the deeper life, to go as far and as deep as you want. But one day that door will close. And all the while it is still open, that is God delaying in his mercy and grace. And I don't know about you, but I thank God for that, that I've been able to enter into it, because I can't once it closes. The church then that is left is faced to the mercy of Antichrist, and there is no mercy, and the judgments that will fall upon the earth. As I've said so many times, nobody wants to be around at that time. And we're going to thank God for these delays, because we're seeing the bigger picture of it. And many times these delays are because of me. I'm not always getting it right. That God is having mercy. That is his long-suffering, that is his patience, his endurance, you see. And this is what we see here in Hebrews 10, which we have read you. The church at Thessalonica was wondering when the Lord was coming. And this is why the apostle wrote two epistles to that church, helping, encouraging them. Even though some had already gone, were asleep now in Jesus, he said, it doesn't matter if you're remaining, be faithful. Keep coming, keep talking about the coming of the Lord. Don't let it go. Keep it in your mind, in your thinking. And we're doing exactly the same today. We don't let it go. We make it our talk, our expectation. We build our revelation, our teaching around the coming of the Lord. The deeper life in the Spirit is about Jesus coming for his bride. And this message is making us ready, even though he's delaying his coming, you see. And that's why we fail to see the bigger picture in all that the Lord is doing. I'm reminded of what it says in Luke 21:19. It's only a short little verse. Luke 21:19, he says, by your patience, possess your souls. By your patience. He says that's how you possess your souls. In other words, the delays is buying your soul. The delays of God don't let your soul go. You've possessed it. You've purchased it with a price. Meaning, I have put all this effort, this work, all these years walking with God, believing, trusting, enduring, staying with it, looking ridiculous at times. I'm not going to let it go. I'm not giving it up. That's what it means here. because I have purchased and received the greatest gift that can ever be given to mankind through Jesus Christ, and I'm not about to give it up. And therefore, I will be patient in possessing my soul. And the soul is you, the person, the whole being, body, soul, spirit. I'm not about to let any of that go, you see. Now, even that is a working of grace and mercy of God, to show us the value. We are of value to God, else Jesus would not have gone to the cross to purchase us. We don't know what that value is. We probably will never fully know. But the very fact that Jesus went to Calvary and purchased our soul reveals the value of us in his sight. We place very little value on human beings. And we see that in the world and how man treats man and wars and so on. But thank God that we do see humanity rising up to the occasion to help, to feed in time of famine. And it's good to see that. There are good sides to humanity. That's the wonderful thing about it, because man is made in the image of God. And that is a sign of God's compassion and mercy and how generous he gives. And that is why it's important to pray, to intercede. But we know in these closing days that things are going to drastically get worse, and they are getting worse. And there are going to be famines and greater famines. It's heart-wrenching when you see some of the pictures and you see the state of some people, because they're undernourished, they don't eat properly. And here we are in the West, fat and flourishing, wanting for nothing. It's difficult. But you can channel all of that when you see that in prayer, intercession. You can make the Holy Spirit become your prayers to supplicate. I find it very hard when I see human suffering, when I see people who can't have a meal on their table each day. It's a difficult one. I don't understand how people can turn their backs on anything like that. They look at the people like that as scum. That's demonic. Jesus had compassion on the people. He fed them. He multiplied the fishes and the loaves. He didn't want them to go away weak because they hadn't eaten. There's the mercy, compassion of God. How much can we do that with the delays of God, with our prayers and intercessions? As we come together, FGA, pray for those who are not having food, where there are places of famine, and they are around the world, and it's going to get worse. We have one of the greatest resources at our hands in praying the prayers of faith before Almighty God. We're still too self-orientated, looking to me, my needs, making sure I've got my food on the table. There are times when I sit and I see what God has blessed on my plate, and I think, what have I done to deserve this? When there are those who've never seen food like this on a table in their lives. These are some of the things that I just can't work out. But what I know I can do is where there is a need, give. And where we hear in the news, and there are times when it comes up, you see these terrible scenes of starvation. and sickness and disease that comes with it, if that doesn't throw you to your knees to supplicate for the mercy of God, then you've got to find out what's wrong with your heart. It cuts you to the core. Because there go I by the grace and mercy of God. I know, I see it online. As I preach and teach now, I get so many from Africa. They send me photos, videos, desperate for money to feed themselves. Governments there are neglecting a lot of these people. They're becoming fat. The corruption that goes on is unbelievable. And there are genuine ones because you see them. It's an eye-opener. And we're getting it in this country. We don't see it in the South so much, but it is around us. There are families who cannot afford to feed themselves and their children. And government covers a blind eye to it. And food banks are desperate to get food to help with these needs. Brothers and sisters, we have to be outward looking as an assembly. That is the nature of the deeper life, that we are touched with the life of Jesus Christ. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, identified. His compassions are our compassions. His needs are our needs. What he sees and who needs feeding is our concern as well, on a practical level. And we have the greatest resource that is free but not cheap, is to pray, to intercede, to pray the prayer of faith. Why has God been teaching us about faith and praying the prayer of faith? It's not just for you, your needs. It's so that the needs of those around us, our neighbours, may be met by our prayers. God opening the doors. God moving through the heart of someone to meet their needs. That's what it is about. There are some who took the deeper life teaching as just feeding themselves, ministering to themselves, making themselves fat spiritually. And they've missed it a mile off. And some of them are not with us anymore. And you know why? Because I was starting to preach like I am today, and they become offended by it. And they're offended because it means they have to act their faith. And it means they're acting their faith for somebody else and not themselves. And we've had a lot in the faith message and deeper life. No longer walk anymore because of this, because this was addressed. If you are richly blessed beyond abundance and you know who your heavenly Father is, who owns everything, then why, oh why, are we not outward looking and using those resources? Can you exhaust the resources of Almighty God? Of course you can't. He owns everything. He is everything. And that's why he says you have not, because you ask not, because you ask amiss. Ask anything in my name, and I will do it, that my Father may be glorified. Here it is, asking these things. Father, feed those people. Bring those resources to them. Bring rain upon their crops, that they may have food. Remove your anger, your judgment from them. It's called mercy. How many of you pray mercy over people, over nations, over blinded governments, greedy governments, corrupt governments? That is the compassion and mercy of God that we should feel and experience through the Holy Spirit as we pray and supplicate. They are the prayers of the Holy Spirit. Those prayers are bigger than your selfish prayers. Then you begin to see those mountains cast into the sea. God knows how to do it, brothers and sisters. And we have to be attuned much more to the love and mercy of God. And this is why God delays, that we get it right, you see. He's getting our prayers and intercessions right. He's getting our walk right with God. He's getting us to walk like Jesus walked. That's what he's doing. And this is why he delays in his coming, for this very purpose, you see. I'm reminded of Moses, and you can read this in Exodus 32, where he went up on Mount Sinai for 40 days, and there he was receiving the law of God under Moses. And while he's up there, the Lord tells him, you better go down. The people are sinning. And Aaron, he sins. And because Moses has gone, they said he's delayed, he's gone, we better have somebody else. And so Aaron said, let's make ourselves a god. And so they all gave their gold, and they hewed out of the fire this idol. How stupid can one be when you think about that? But we do that sort of thing. We start to make idols when it seems God is not answering or he's delaying his coming. I'm fed up with waiting. And what do you do when you become fed up with waiting? You turn to an alternative, a substitute. You look for something else. And we've all done it. And this was what the children of Israel were doing. And so they make this God, they worship him, and they have a feast. And God says, you better get down there quickly. And he does. And he sees this sight that is going on. And it was pagan. It was unclean to see what the children of Israel were doing. How quick they had fallen away, gone to an alternative. And of course, all the excuse, well, we thought you'd gone, you weren't going to come back, so we decided to make ourselves a god and everything. And then God judged it, like he did. And the Levitical priesthood had to go and execute many. And it says that God continued to plague them. to remind them what they had done, you see? And this is what we will do if we do not keep our eyes truly fixed upon the Lord and following him. We will turn to these dumb idols, and it becomes nothing but a curse, because that is what idols do. And our idols can be anything, anyone, any object, our house, our home, our spouse, our family, our car, our hobby. We turn to them so easily, and we're not always aware of what we're doing. And then the peace starts going. The blessing starts going. Then the hedge starts to come down. I know, I've done it, brothers and sisters. The hedge come down in my life. God permitted, he allowed it. And the enemy was in to buff it. And then your health begins to suffer. You haven't that peace. You lose the vision. You're striving. You're trying to work things out until you drop to your knees and ask for forgiveness. And then the peace comes back. That hedge of protection comes back. You're aware again of things like Psalm 91 that's protecting, preserving, keeping you when you go out and when you come in. Yes, we have the trials of our faith, but you know when you're going through a trial, and it is a trial of your faith. You know when you are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Those trials are different. There's a peace that's attached to those trials, as hard as they are. But when you bring trials through your own foolishness, when you start turning to idols, those trials are different. They are chastening in nature to bring you back to God. And you will thank God for his delays because of my stupidity, my blindness. The Lord could have come at that time when I was sinning and falling away, but he didn't. That is the long suffering and mercy of God. Never forget this, brothers and sisters. Each day we walk with the Lord. And if he's delaying his coming this day, there is a good reason for it. And I have a chance because he's working. He's working with me. He's working with FGA and all those who love the Lord and all those who listen to this message. So there we are, brothers and sisters, coping with the delays of God. I think we're realizing it's not such a problem as we thought. How the enemy likes to blow it out of proportion. Well, look, nothing much is happening. You've been in this walk for years. What little are you showing for it? What have you accomplished? Oh, how logical the enemy can sound. Plausible. And that's how he comes. He always comes in the nature to seduce. And seduction is a season where he works on you. He's working on your mind, your circumstances. He's trying to get your eyes off the Lord and the Word of God. But you see, eventually we wake up to that. You realize what he's getting up to. And, you know, you can then tell him to leave, to go. Because God has made no mistake over us, over each of us, and over this assembly. He's made no mistake at all. And he is ever working with us, that we walk with him each day, and that our eyes are looking solely and completely to him and him alone. And if it means delays, then praise God, he's doing that work. Because the bride who makes herself ready, she only has her eyes on one thing, and that's her bridegroom. She has got no time to waste on anything or anyone else. And if that's not yet in your heart, ask the Lord to place it there, and he will. Because they're the right things that we ask for in prayer. And I'll tell you what, you don't have to believe and release a humongous amount of faith for that. You know if that's in your heart, you know God's going to answer that. You know it's already done. Because that is the heart of the Spirit. The heart of the Spirit is drawing his bride now to himself for marriage. And that is why we have the delays of God. So are you coping with the delays of God? I think we can start to leave that word out, can't we? Coping. Yes, I am, by the grace and mercy of God. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. I trust you've been blessed by this word, and it's helped and encouraged and answered some questions and helped us on our way, and that we're on the right path, looking to the Lord, and he's going to come for us. But until then, we cope with these delays and we allow the Spirit to do the work.